So welcome back to Serving First, and on our next podcast, we've got a singer, a songwriter, and a producer. He actually started his career at the age of 5 in Brazil, where he lived. He then went on to live in the US, and he worked as a game soundtrack composer. He came back to Brazil for 2 years, where he toured with his band, and he's currently living in London and continuing to compose music and building his singing career. Please welcome Marcello.
Hey.
How are you, Marcello?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me tonight.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Yeah. So in describing you just a few moments ago, the first thing that came up, started his career at the age of 5.
Exactly.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I come from a family. My mom, she was a producer and also a musician. She used to play the piano, and I grew up in studios, to tell the truth. So at the age of 5, I was already in studios with mom and different artists. That's how I started the thing like singing. I come from a family that everybody, they play instruments, and mom put me in a school, but I didn't have the discipline to become a piano player. So for me, singing was easier, you know. And then I became the first singer in the family. I remember I was in school and I started singing in school in a choir. They offered me a position in the band to play in the band, the school band, you know, but my thing was always singing. I had always had the thing of melodies in my head, and that's pretty much how I started.
So was it just the joy of actual singing, or did you like the performance side of things?
Well, at that time, I think it was just the pure pleasure of singing, you know, sing along, whatever. My mom used to say that I used to watch television, and every time that I have these commercials, I used to sing together with the songs. So they used to show, like, you know, the collection, the 10 best of the Carpenters. And during that 30 seconds, when we have the songs and they cut and played another one, I used to sing together with the songs. And my mom is, oh, he's doing it in a key, so probably he's going to become a singer.
Wow.
And happen naturally.
It's funny how you see young kids with a certain talent for things, or at least a certain interest in things. And it's really nice when you hear that that talent kind of became something real many years later. So you could see the signs from early on, from a young age. Like you said, you were singing along to TV ads and things.
Yes.
So that's how you got interested in music.
Sometimes my mom was like, oh, you go to school, you do your homework. I got to work now. And I was like, can I go to the studio? No, not tonight. Not tonight. The session today will be long. Oh, but please let me go. So at the end of the day, I was in the studio and everybody was tired and I was never sleeping. I was always learning how to use the tape and the console and all the microphones, you know. I was like, oh, come on. 5 years old in the studio all night. But I was so happy. So happy.
And that's, in a way, you kind of learnt how music is composed, mixed, and probably at the time you didn't realize how it would be useful, but you kind of picked up the habits from a young age, right?
Right. That's really right. While children, they were just playing video games. I was in front of the studio on the whole console and learning how to mix drums, piano, voices, strings, everything together. And I was doing this. It was just a pure pleasure. It was not, you need to do this, you know, learn that. No. I was there making questions to the technicians and say, why we do that? Where the sound comes from? It was just fun, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it came from a place of just, like you said, just wanting to learn and just wanting to know how it works, because it was just fun and you just loved it. And you didn't really see yourself necessarily as this might have been a career or something. But at the age of 12...
Yes,
I heard you were already writing your own songs.
Yeah, there was this moment that I just learned that I could write my own songs. So I think around 12, I could understand these melodies in my head, these voices in my head. All the time I was singing along, la da 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 da, something like this. And I learned a little bit later that this is basically the way that we make music. So you get this la da da, and then you start working with some lyrics, some rhymes, and voila, we have a song, you know? I had some not so nice songs in the beginning. I think it's something that you need to keep practicing all the time. But yeah, that's how I discovered that I could actually create my own music, you know.
So you said your mother was a musician and a producer. So was she very supportive of you, or how did she react to your interest in music and how you became very immersed into music as in your teen years and beyond?
I remember there was this moment when I was young, yet about this 5-6 years old, and I told her, I want to be a singer. That's what I want to do in my life. And she just looked at me and said, well, this career is really difficult. There'll be moments that things won't be easy for you, and you're going to get hurt, but it's beautiful. Music is still beautiful. You need to go to school, but if you say that music, it's what you want, you're going to go for it. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
And I say, yes, that's what I want. And boom.
Wow. And she was always supportive of you from then?
Yeah, mom and dad, both of them. They never question, like, I understand that some people understand that, oh my God, my son's going to be an artist. No. You know, there is this kind of feeling sometimes. But because I come from a family with everybody, they are artists. So it was really easy to say, okay, no, that's what you want to do. Look, it's not easy. It's complicated. It's difficult. Are you sure? Yes. So let's go for it. I had to board since the day one.
That's really great to hear. That's very lucky. I think a lot of people don't always get that, because you get lots of situations where maybe parents aren't supportive of a career.
Yeah.
But in your case, you actually had that. But did you ever have any maybe pushback from friends or other people around you? Anyone who maybe doubted you over the years? Or
well, growing up as a singer, as a songwriter, it's difficult because the other kids, they just want to play soccer or play video games. And I was totally into music, you know. I used to buy vinyls and then CDs. I spent all my money in music all the time. I was desperately listening to the radio and going to secondhand stores, vinyls secondhand stores, and the main big stores of music. And I used to spend like 2-3 hours there. And I remember every weekend, my mom, my dad, they used to go do some shopping, and where I was every time in the music session. So if they want to find me, it wasn't in a toy session, it wasn't a music session. So yeah, it wasn't easy to grow up as a singer, because some people say, oh, you're a singer, okay, but what you want to do with your life? Well, I want to be a singer, damn it. that's what I'm doing. I want to be a singer. Okay, yeah, but any other job? No, singer, that's what I want to do.
I suppose you handled that very well, because most people's reactions are maybe, I don't know if negative is the word, but they might not take you seriously, mm-hmm. would you say, if you say mm-hmm. you're a singer? Are we going to be a singer? So their reaction is more like you said, oh, what other job are you going to do? And it's almost like, okay, it's great. This little kid's got the singing dream, but actually he's going to be doing something else later mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's what they see.
Sometimes
I guess.
The things like... are you sure? These questions that they come, people ask you that. But for me, at least, I would say music comes from my heart. You know, it's my first love, and the thing that I always say, my music helped me through difficult times. And I think if I didn't have my music, I wouldn't be on this planet anymore.
Wow. Well, I was going to ask you. I mean, you said difficult mm-hmm. times. How difficult? I mean, were there times when you really wanted to quit music, or tell me a bit more about
that?
Well,
you know, when we become teenagers, life is a little bit more complicated, right? So it's about learning.
Yeah.
It's about understanding who we are and what we're doing on this planet. First love, girls, and all this thing. For me, because when I was about 12, 13, people already knew me as a singer. So there was this kind of magic about, oh, Marcello, oh, he sings. Oh, let's have a party. Oh, let's bring Marcello to sing. So people were always looking at me differently than just a normal teenager, you know? So in a way, it was complicated, I would say, growing up with music.
I mean, do you think you kind of experienced fame a little bit?
Yeah. I would say
locally,
regionally.
Or amongst your friends. Yes.
But because I was already recording and making my own music, it was, oh, listen to this with a cassette tape. Oh, this is my song. Oh, I like it. And teachers and friends. So there was a moment that everybody understood, okay, we cannot take music from our cello anymore. So there's no escape. That's it. And then that is the moment that people start supporting me way more, you know. But growing up inside the music thing, it's not simple because the industry is really difficult. And I do understand when families say, oh, my God, now my son is a singer. Because this industry, it's really complicated. This industry is really difficult.
I mean, yeah. You worked in the US for a little while as a game soundtrack designer as well. How different is that from working in music?
I don't know if you know, but I am a pizza. Let's start with this. I was born in Brazil, and I have, from my mom's side, a mix in between British and French. From my father's side, I have Italian and Portuguese. So I was always interested in learning different languages and leaving the country to... When I was very young, I was like, oh my God, I need to go to another country to see how they make music, how, you know, everything related to music all the time. Music was a priority. And I had a chance to leave Brazil when I was about this 16. I was really addicted to this game called The Sims. It's a game that you create houses, you create life inside a game. And I learned how to program all the game. So I could open a game in this specific software and fix errors that the producers, they used to do in the game. So there was a moment that the producers, they were like, oh my God, what he's doing? He's fixing our job. Let's hire him. So I was hired for this major company, Electronic Arts, to work with The Sims in America before my market in Brazil. So I was a Brazilian employee working in a headquarters in California. And because everything I do, I always try to convert into music. I started working with the game, programming, creating content, managing the community. And then we had a Sims label inside a building. What is a Sims label? It's the studio when they make the soundtrack for the game. Say, oh, that's my place. And then I met a producer, Robbie Cocker, and say, okay, I sing, I play. I want to be part of this, the same music thing. And the game, they have the language. Their language is called Simlish. So when,
Simlish.
Instead of say, yeah, Simlish.
I didn't
instead
heard of say, that, yeah.
Instead of say hello, they say Zuzu. And then they start speaking their own language. So I start recording songs, covers of original songs in Simlish. And it was so funny, right? Imagine instead thinking singing New York, New York, I would do a Simlish like Juba Budu Jubor Boror instead singing the lyrics, right? And this became like the main thing for the game, singing in Simlish. And then I started working with the soundtrack. So I went there to work with content for the game. And at the end, I was working with a soundtrack, doing soundtrack for the game. So in between Sims 1, 2, 3, and 4, I have my hands in all these games. Few years later, we have a game called Superstar. Then we have Christina Aguilera. We had Toni Braxton singing in Simlish also. So I had a chance to follow all these people in the studio and tell them, how do we do Simlish, you know?
Oh, you literally told them how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
It's really fun.
So that was when you talk about game soundtrack composer. You're talking about those effects that you created.
Yeah. Originally, I was working there just to create content for the game. But then I started creating soundtrack and the music, all the incidental music when the game was loading. So yeah, that's what I did.
After you worked in the US, you came back to Brazil and you were touring the country. You had a band that you created called Vox, I think it was.
Yes, it is. It is.
And it was with a couple of friends that you toured. Tell me about that.
After this time working with the EA games. I had to return to Brazil, and I spent a season in Brazil. I said, you know what? I think it's time to have a band, because everybody, all the singers, they always have a band. I never had a band before. I say, okay, it's time to get a band. So I started with, it was me and other four guys. We started like five guys singing. And then one left, then we became four, and then we became three. When we became three, I say, well, that's all we have. So the band was called Vox. And we recorded songs like pop, R&B-ish. And we finished an album with 15 tracks. And then I had a chance to send this album to a major record company. We had a meeting with the executives and at Sony Music Brazil. So we spent a day in the record company. We made the first listening of the album. Everybody was really happy with the project. But at the end of the day, the president of the company came to me and said, I don't know what to do with you guys. You sound too international. We don't have space for you in Brazil. Because in Brazil, we have this regional, like, funk music and country music. And we are doing something totally different. And they always were like, oh, but this is too international. We don't have space for that. And I would never sing country music in Brazil because it's not my cup of tea. It's not my thing, you know? And then I say, okay, so there's not much we can do here. And it finished that we didn't sign the contract at the time and say, okay, I need to leave the country again. So if I'm too international, I need to go to another place and try it again and start from the scratch again. And I said, okay, let's see what we can do in the UK, because in the UK, we have all this story with the best studios, best recording techniques, best mastering. Say, okay, let's go to London. Let's see what we can see there. And when I just arrived here, I remember very well, my first time here in the country, when I just arrived in Heathrow. So, oh my God, I love this place already. And it worked out very well for me. Yeah.
Yeah, you're based there now, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you recorded some music, you released some music. I know you travel a lot still and perform in different places as well.
A lot has happened since I moved here. I was invited for this project called Enigma, the famous Enigma from the 90s with Michael Cretu, which I was a huge fan. And he invited me to be part of the latest album. So I am in the album. The album is called The Fall of a Rebel Angel. And I have a song that I wrote and produced together with him. So I am in the album. So, oh my God, now I used to be a fan. I was a fan for 20 years and suddenly I'm there singing. You know, it's huge. It's really big. And also, it's great because all the fans, they started following me. They got really interested in my music. So it's been really great. And All of this happened since I arrived here. So it's been a great season. I've been releasing some singles, some remixes. It's been great. It's been definitely great.
Wow, yeah. I've heard some of your stuff as well. It's really cool stuff. And thanks. I'm really impressed just listening to your story that it always amazes me when people have had an interest or a passion in something from a young age and how they maintain that, how they keep holding on to that dream for years and years, all through their teens and 20s and even through difficult times and setbacks and changing situations, they still find a way to hold on to that. That's always impressed me with anyone in whatever career they do. Who are your role models in life? Not just in music, but maybe in other aspects of life. Who inspires you?
Well, it's funny because I still need to talk about music. You know, my inspiration comes from other singers. Luther Vandross is something that I love. I think he's the best voice ever. You know, I just watched the videos when he's singing live. So my God, it's so perfect. So Luther Vandross. I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. Love Michael Jackson and his music and the whole story, you know, with all the video clips and everything else. I think was really great. I also learned a lot how to record and start learning how to do background vocals with Michael Jackson's music. The Carpenters, they are amazing. I love the Carpenters. Karen Carpenter for me also, it's a great voice. Basically, I'm sorry, but they are all singers and musicians.
Of course, no, I mean, it can be from anywhere, but It's always interesting how people look for inspiration, not just in their field, but sometimes completely away from it. I know in a lot of the role models for me are not necessarily in what I do.
It's funny because music is always my main focus, you know. I remember that I was working with this company before that wasn't related to music or games or nothing. It was just a normal company, like an office. And every time that my manager was talking to me and there was a song playing, the voice of the manager starts to get really faded, and it was a and I was paying attention to music, and then the manager came, did you understand? Can you say again? Sorry, I was listening to the song that was playing the radio, you know? So yeah, sorry, but music is always the focus.
No need to apologize at all. I think the reason I asked, it was, it's always interesting when I ask that question, and sometimes you get answers which are directly in the field that the people are interested in, but sometimes you get people who say there's people in other fields completely, but it's not so much that they are inspired by people in a different field, but it's more what they're inspired by is the attitude of the people. So it doesn't matter if they're in the same field as yourself, but they like a certain attitude they have, or a certain, maybe it's a work ethic or something, and they're inspired by that. So I just wanted to see if that was something that was apparent in your role models. I guess not. You love music, and that's great. So how do you relax? I mean, what kind of things do you do outside of music? I mean, you sound like someone, I'm guessing you're probably going to tell me to relax, you sing as well. But are there other things that you do just to chill and relax? How do you wind down? I mean, do you have moments where you don't think about music or maybe you just want to break from it sometimes? And then tell me about that.
It's really rare have a moment that music's not involved. It's really rare, but I mean, video games for sure. I'm a huge Pokemon fan also. This is funny because I've been playing Pokemon for 20 years now.
Wow.
And so yeah, if there's no music, so probably it's Pokemon, or maybe reading a little. Yes, I love reading also. But I would say 95% of the time it's still music. If I need to relax, I put some movie soundtrack, because I love orchestra also, and I love John Williams. I love so many great composers. So I spend some time with music just for relaxing, like new age music, 80s music. I love the 80s sounds also.
It is, yeah.
It's really great.
I know you told me before about your interest in Pokemon. I've known you for quite a while now, and I remember you telling me that you're looking forward to a trip to Japan.
Oh,
where
my
you want
God.
To take
I
a
need
few
to go to
suitcases
Japan, yes.
And just get loads of Pokemon memorabilia and
yes.
toys and all sorts of things as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about, and something I've been asking recently, what about your morning routine? And the reason I ask is it seems to be a much more important thing these days, certainly in the last few years. There's a lot of talk about morning routines and stuff. And I've asked some of my other guests about that as well. Mm-hmm. So what's your morning routine like? How do you set up your day? Like when you have an important day where you're working on your music or you're about to perform, is there anything you do differently maybe? Or tell me about that.
You know, that all singers, and probably if you talk to any singer, we're always going to tell you the same thing. Mornings, they're not the best time for us because the voice is very low, you know? Mm. We cannot sing. I say, in the mornings, maybe I can say, you'll never find, you know, it can get really, really low.
Yeah.
That's not my main range. I can go low, but when I wake up, no, it's not fine. So I get some water in the morning. I think every morning I need to leave the bed with the right foot.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, it's just happened, you know. If I do with left foot, I say, oh, no, come back to bed and let's do it again. I don't know why, but it just happened.
Yeah.
You know, every morning it's just like this. Then I get some water and I try to warm my voice to start speaking. I don't like to speak on the first 10 minutes when I wake up because the voice is not in a good range.
Yeah.
And maybe because I am a singer, I feel my vocal cords, I feel my throat, I feel this area for me is really sensitive. So I prepare the voice. I don't smoke, I don't drink. So naturally, I like to get my voice really clear, and I like to work on my voice. So that's the first thing I do. Water, warm up, and then I have my, then I go to gym, I work out a little bit, and if I need to do some job, I go to work, then I go to studios, but I prefer to go to studios after 2 p.m. and I can stay there all night, no problem at all.
Yeah. So training is very important. It's interesting to hear about the voice as well, and especially as a singer, how it affects you.
We need to have discipline because the voice is something that changes. Some teachers, they say that the voice can music teachers, they say the voice changes every 7 years.
Wow.
The texture can, the texture can get better or worse if you smoke, if you don't treat the voice correctly. So there is a warm-up that we're supposed to do every day and drink loads of water. There's no need to have alcohol or these things that people say, oh no, drink some brandy. No, it's just water. You don't need anything else. For sure, if you can do a steaming for the voice, right, it helps very much, but you don't need more than that. And for sure, don't smoke, don't scream too much. If you go to the club, you don't need to keep screaming all night, talking to people, you know, that's important.
Interesting. Okay. It's good to know, actually. Yeah, it's true. I mean, even as a non-singer myself, I know what it's like to have that kind of very low voice when you wake up in the morning, and it affects us all.
Yeah,
so I can't imagine what it's like when you're a singer and you've got that to deal with as well, and you've got to work on your voice and protect it. So one of the questions we always ask our interviewees is about books they like to read or books that have inspired them in their life. Tell me some of yours and why they've inspired you.
I think my first one in my list is The Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
That's
the three books.
Yeah. Of course, no, I know the books and the films very well, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just taken aback because normally that's not someone's first choice or something that would come to mind as an inspirational book in the sense, like in a personal development kind of inspirational way. But why Lord of the Rings?
I'm really connected with the whole story. First thing, the book was released on my birthday. That's the first thing. I didn't know that. I learned that with the time, right?
Yeah.
First time I read the book, I was around 12, yes. And I got totally in love with the whole story for sure. But for me, the book brings something really deep, that is friendship and how we can be loyal to people, to friends, you know. And I think this touched me very much since the moment one with the story. And I like to believe that it is what can inspire people, you know. We make friends everywhere. Sometimes we need to live our lives like running and do our stuff. We don't see people every day, but once you have your friend, please be loyal, be the best you can. You don't need to see them every day, but friendship is something really, really sensitive for me. And I think the book is all about that, how you can grow up and grow a friendship and keep it that forever, you know. That's it's about changing, it's about going, trying to get your goals in life, but never forget your friends. That's the main thing for me. That's why the book is really important, and that's my inspiration. Yeah.
Wow, that's nice to hear. It's actually one of my favorite books, but certainly one of my most favorite films as well. I've seen the films many times. I think we have talked about this before as well. And for similar reasons that you said, I mean, that's definitely one of the themes that means something to me as well. A certain, I suppose, a camaraderie that you're in this together. You go through thick and thin together as friends and your group of friends. And there are,
because people usually they say, oh, but Lord of the Rings is just about destroying the ring. I say, okay, go a little bit deeper. Pay attention. It's not about the rings. It's about friendship.
I think that's the main thing. Allegory as well, isn't it? I mean, we look at any sci-fi films or anything like that. And I've got friends of mine who have similar film tastes as me, and you've got friends who really don't get any of that stuff. If it's anything to do with sci-fi, it's like they just can't see it, whether it's Back to the Future or Star Wars or anything like that. I would say it's not really about that. It's not really about the spaceships and the cars or whatever. It's much more than that. There's more going on than just what you see on the surface.
Read between the lines, yeah.
I mean, I say this because obviously, like with Serving First, it's about personal development mixed with sport and tennis. But I would say that sport is not really just about the ball being hit or kicked or the car racing around or whatever. There's much more than that in sport. It's much more about willpower and dedication, focus and dealing with pressure. And there are so many underlying things, which is more interesting. That's what fascinates me about sport. And I think a lot of people watch sport.
And all the people behind the things, right? And
yeah,
all the people that's involved and behind
the main thing. Absolutely. The team, the training, all that kind of stuff, the nutrition. I mean, there are so many elements where it's one of those things where you're trying to express yourself in your very, very best. And just to see that come together with all the elements, it's fascinating to see. So it's not just the actual what you see on the surface, it's the character development. I think it's the character underneath that. And you see that in movies like Lord of the Rings, and what's the character really about? What's the underlying thing there? That's what fascinates me. And I think, so I understand that. Lord of the Rings is a great book, of course, a massive popular book. Any other books that come to mind? Or
yes, I have another one that is The Alchemist from Paulo Coelho, a Brazilian writer.
Of course.
I don't know if you heard about it.
Of course. One of the most famous books of all time.
True. Yeah. And translated in, I don't know, I don't even know how many languages. I think 56 now. I don't know. But it's also, it's a really basic story, but there is something that it always says, the universe always conspire on your favor, right? Something like this. So I do believe that we are creatures in this planet. We're all connected with the universe. And The Alchemist always brought this kind of feelings for me. And I had a chance to go to Morocco, and I've been to the desert to reconnect with the universe, and all related with the book, you know. There was a moment that I had to have some answers from the universe, and I said, you know what, I'm going to Morocco, I'm going there, I'm gonna spend some time in the desert, let's see if I can connect. And believe me, every single question I made to the universe, I got the answer there, like almost instantly. So it's crazy, you know. I don't know what people believe, and I'm pretty much not talking about religion here. It's just about energy, and so about doing good things to people. I had my connection with the universe there, and I got my answer. So The Alchemist helped me to go through the stage also. So every time now when I feel, oh, I'm not well, you know, I think I'm going to give up, I always remember my journey in Morocco. Say, nope, it's not time for that. There's no time for that.
I just remembered, I think the line is something like, the universe conspired so that I can find you, or something. I think he actually says it to the girl.
Yeah, it's something like, whatever you want to do, the universe is always on your favor. Always. But it needs to be open and ready to read the signs. The signs, they are everywhere all the time.
That's one of the hardest things, isn't it? To read the signs, or be open to hearing the signs.
Yeah, true. So I say, when you read the book, in a way it touches you and open this window. So you start seeing signs everywhere.
It's actually one of the few books I've read more than once, actually.
True.
Gosh, I think after talking to you, I feel like reading it again.
Yeah, you see? Yeah, me too.
I'm just thinking about it. I've got it on my shelf, so I might pick it up and have a look now. So, yeah.
So, can I tell you a quick story about this journey in Morocco? So, you know, I'm a musician, singer. So, I was in a moment that I don't know. All this journey has been too long. It's been too difficult. And then I bet with the universe and say, okay, I'm here in Morocco. I need to find a way to get the answer. I need the answer if I should keep doing what I'm doing, or if I need to go to somewhere else. And then I say, okay, universe, the thing is, I'm here in Morocco, open market. I need to find a vinyl, a CD, whatever, a Michael Jackson's vinyl. Okay, because Michael, I'm a huge fan. I say, let's use Michael as the sign here. Okay, so I spent 3 days on the open market. I didn't find any music store. We have everything. We see Moroccan oil. We see there. Never found a music store. So on my last day in a journey was, oh my God, there's no music store. Then I got lost inside the market, and I found this pretty small music store, full of vinyls, full of sand, music from friends, from Italy, music from everywhere. So I spend like 1 hour checking all the vinyls. I say, no, I need to find a Michael Jackson's vinyl. This is my sign. This is my sign. Sledge, I didn't find anything. I didn't find any Michael's vinyl. So, oh my God, no. But music's my life. This is the place. When I was ready to give up, I just saw this vinyl, a black cover, nothing written in the cover. And it was the only vinyl that I didn't touch before. I just took the vinyl from the pile. And it was the only one that I pulled the vinyl out from the cover to see what we had there. And boom, it was the Michael Jackson vinyl. And I, for sure, I bought the vinyl and I have the vinyl here on my wall. So the message for me was really clear. Whatever you want to do, look inside yourself. For me, that was the message. So every time I feel a little bit down, I look at the vinyl, say, oh no, the vinyl is here. You know, we need to keep going. that was my way to get the answer, definitely.
It's like a nice reminder of what's possible if you keep believing, I suppose. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You just never give up, keep believing. True. And you just keep looking one more try, and it's there.
The answer is they are always inside you, right?
I do believe that. I think it's certainly some experiences I've had in the last few years where maybe I've been to talks with certain speakers and things and little exercises we've done. Mm-hmm. And they tell you to put your hand on your heart, for example. I went to a thing with Greg Braden last year, and he tells you to put your hand on your heart and ask it a question, and it will give you an answer. And I tried that a couple of times, just questions about myself, you know, what I need to know about myself, for example. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting what came out. And we always ask our interviewees, because I think Serving First and what we're trying to do here is really about advice for young people, you know, in their teen years or early 20s. And if you could go back in time, what would you say to yourself? And that's what I'm going to ask you. What would you say to the younger Marcello? Mm. And you can pick the age, if you're 15, 10, 20, 25, maybe different bits of advice at different ages. But what would you say to the younger Marcello if you could go back in time and just give them a bit of knowledge that you know now about life or anything? It could be the music business, could be anything at all. What would you say? And also, kind of combined with that, what would you say generally to other kids who are coming up and maybe trying to do what you're doing, or maybe have an idea for a dream, but they're not sure how to go about it, or maybe they want to quit, or they're not sure because they've got lots of negativity from the people around them?
Wow, this is a good question. I think I would say, don't never ever give up. When people try to discourage you, don't listen to them. Nobody can touch your light. And you're going to do whatever you want to do. Just believe it. Some days will be more difficult than the others. But again, if it's your passion, it's in your heart, whatever you want to do, keep going. Don't listen to anybody. Do just what you feel is right, what you love to do, because you're going to get there. Can be difficult? Yes, can be difficult, but you're still going to get it. Still going to get it. Just believe and never stop. Never, ever stop. I think that's pretty much what I would say. Yeah.
Solid advice. I think we'll end it there. So thank you again for your time, Marcello. It's been a pleasure interviewing you.
Oh my God, it was great. It was great. It's over. Let's do it again.
You know, one funny thing with a lot of the people I've interviewed is that most of them are people I know already, friends and so on. And through these interviews, you feel like I've got to know them even more after the interview. Like, I thought I knew lots about all of you, and I thought I knew a lot about you. I know, obviously, you're a musician, the Brazilian background, some of the stuff about your parents and music influences. Mm-hmm. But some of the details with your story in the past, it was very interesting. And for example, the trip to Morocco, I didn't know about that. That was very fascinating. And even the Lord of the Rings. I mean, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I think you may have mentioned that to me once a long time ago, but I didn't know why it was an inspiration for you. That was very interesting. Yeah. Where can people find your work? How can they maybe follow your work, follow you on social media, hear your music?
Mm-hmm. Well, everything is really centralized on my website. You can find all the social medias, all these things that people do, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. I have my website that is marcello.com. I know the name is not too simple to to write, but it's MARTCHELO, right? Marcello.com. Yes, you can.
Well, we're going to put everything on the website anyway. So it's Marcello.com. And your Instagram is?
It's Marcello Music, but you also can find it on my website. Everything is linked there.
Yeah. Website. Okay. So, yeah. Any final word? Anything you want to add?
I would say...
Giving you the open mic here.
If you're feeling down, don't listen to the not nice energy. Don't listen to the dark energy. Put some music on. Start singing, dancing. Believe me, music can heal, and music always heals.
Absolutely. Music is life. I listen to a lot of music, and I sometimes forget when I'm down to put on music, and then it's almost a relief. Well, not even the moment when I put music on, but it's a relief when I remember to put music on. So I might be down for, let's say, half an hour, something may happen, but then I just remember, music. And then I look forward to putting music on. I quickly get my AirPods in and put some music on. And it's like even the act of putting music on is like a relief sometimes. No, thanks again, Marcello. It's really a pleasure hearing you.
Thank you for having me. It was a
wonderful
pleasure.
Thanks much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to our fourth podcast on Serving First. And thank you again for listening. Until next time, take care.